Hi, I'm Mel Majoros. I am a 9-year cancer survivor. My blog, The Cancer Warrior, is one of the top 10 breast cancer blogs, according to blogs.com. I'm here to bring a fresh, upbeat perspective to a topic that to some may seem scary. A positive mental attitude got me through my cancer, and I hope to share that with you. Talking to I Am Jeannie, Joshua Dawson, today. He has a book coming out. He said he had an experience with the Kings, which totally jealous because everybody knows how huge of a hockey fan I am. So how are you today, Joshua?
I'm doing great. And who's your favorite team?
Well, the LA Kings, of course. Besides my own hockey team, but yeah.
besides your own hockey team, yeah.
Yes.
What position do you play again? I forget.
I usually play forward or center if they're really, really, really desperate.
Okay, so you must like Luke Robitaille.
I do.
Left wing.
I actually play left wing right now just because the other person I switch with plays left wing, so I can play either side. But yeah, Luke Robitaille,
right wing too.
You do. Yeah, we have a lot in common.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your book, and then we got to talk about the Kings because you said that, and I was like Scooby Doo ears just went up. What? So
yeah. So, do you want to talk about the we did a wish grant with the LA Kings, and we filmed it for a TV show. So. We surprised through Stacia and Luke Robitaille. I started talking to Stacia because she started getting my emails because I send out, you know, daily kind of emails to people, like spiritual type of emails. And she was on the list because she was going to go to an Eckhart Tolle event that we're having in Vancouver. So she got kind of on our email list. She started getting the daily emails, and her and Luke were in Toronto, and they actually started reading them every morning, they actually started. She reached out to me and asked, told me how much she enjoyed them, and then we got talking, and we wanted to do a wish grant down in LA because the production company for the TV show wanted to do something down there. And we just started chatting. We ended up doing a wish grant with LA Kings.
So what's this TV show, or is that something you can't talk about? Because you're full of secrets.
Well, it's kind of been the ongoing thing for a while. So we filmed, I don't know when I talked to you last, but we filmed a pilot, and we won a new producer to watch in Cannes.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got it got passed on to a production company that did the Roseanne Barr show and Home Improvement.
Oh, okay.
So now they're kind of pitching it to different networks and advertisers. So they had to film some stuff of, you know, just a film of us doing our thing.
Right.
And so they filmed that with the LA Kings just, you know, last week. So
were you in the Jeannie outfit on skates?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, that would have been Jeannie awesome, though, right?
Yeah, that would have been good. I was in the Jeannie outfit with the Boston Bruins years ago, and I wasn't on skates, but I was on the bench pointing at, what's his name, Claude Julien?
Yes, Claude Julien. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I was pretending I was a coach, and I was kind of like yelling out at him during the practice.
So tell me a little bit about the experience that you gave someone with the Kings and with Stacia and Luke.
So Stacia and Luke, there's two people that have worked for the Kings for like over 20 years, and they haven't taken a day off because they have three jobs and they're supporting four kids.
Whoa.
So the kids are kind of full grown now, and the mother just found out that she had some health issues herself. And so we decided to surprise them. They bus at one of the main restaurants there. And so when they were getting, you know, their like employee meeting or before the evening starts, Luke and I surprised them and said, you know, you're not working today. You're going to be king for a day. We're going to kind of turn the tables on them and thank them and for everything that they've done to serve. We just wanted to serve them for a day. And we ended up, you know, they got best seats in the house. They rode on the Zamboni. They had a special presentation during the actual game. We had the spotlight on the bench, and we did a bunch of things for the kids. One of the kids is a big skateboarder, so we brought in two professional skateboarders, and he's going to skateboard with them. And another one wants to be a model, so we brought in a model from America's Next Top Model, and they're going to get a center spread in a big national magazine. And then we're flying the whole family to Las Vegas to meet Santana and a whole bunch of other cool stuff. So wow. It was a really, you know, amazing night. And that's kind of the reason why we do everything, is for to be able to do stuff like that. So we had a great time down there, and Ingrid and I really hit it off with Stacey and Luke, and we ended up hanging out with them for most of the week because they're just really amazing, nice people.
They are. I'm Facebook friends with Stacia. I've never met her in real life when I lived out there, but if I ever go back to LA, which I really want to, I want to meet her in real life. And just she seems very genuine, very real, not the typical LA wife or LA personality, yeah. I should say.
Yeah, and she has her own organization called Echoes of Hope, who and they've helped out countless kind of foster kids and people that. They're having trouble kind of making ends meet, you know, go to school. I actually had dinner with a few of the youth that they've helped out, and they're just amazing people. And how much they've helped turn their lives around is just unbelievable. So she's done more than most, for sure.
See, hockey players are the best athletes and families. Just saying.
That's right.
I'm a little biased, but that's just me.
We can say that because we're hockey players.
We can say that. And look how much you do for everybody. And we were talking before the show about your Tiny Book of Magic, which just came out. Now, you were talking a little bit about how it doesn't. And I know what you're saying when you were saying it doesn't really feel like it's from you. It's kind of like a spiritual thing from the universe, because I kind of get that. I understand, like, you know, when you put something out there and it's like, well, this isn't, you know, it's you're just the vessel from which all this good comes through.
Yeah, that's the perfect way to put it. I think in any creative endeavor, when you're really, you know, you're digging deep and you're expressing that depth that you find, then it doesn't really feel like it's from you. It feels like it's for you more than it's from you. So that's how I feel about this book. This book, I get just as much from this book, or probably even more than people that read it, because. I can read it and get lessons from it myself, because I don't feel like I wrote a lot of it, at least any of the good parts. So I get a lot from that. Plus, the biggest thing that I get is the connections with other people, and when you start teaching people, which is essentially what I'm starting to do through this book. Then you start learning a lot more about what it is that you're teaching. So that's what's happening right now.
So what is the book about?
It talks about life's seven greatest illusions. And it begins with the illusion of death when my father passed with cancer when he was only 53 years old. And I started to dress up like a blue genie and travel around and grant wishes. So it starts with the illusion of death and continues all the way to the illusion of time. And it's kind of a chronological storyline of, you know, each chapter starts with a story related to the genie or related to some of the spiritual masters that I've come and touch with over the years, and it just talks about you know, a story, the lesson that I learned, and then the lessons that other people could learn. So every chapter ends with three or four points on how you could see through that illusion. So the first illusion is the illusion of time, and then it talks about the illusion of force, illusion of secrecy, illusion of hardship, illusion of limitations, illusion of ownership, and then the illusion of time. So it's pretty deep, but it has a lot of kind of real, funny, practical tips that you can use every day to be able to connect with your true self. And when I say true self, I mean the what other people might call God or energy or the universe, or it's just the energy that is is the kind of the still energy that we can all connect to and we can all access for our creative expression.
And everybody needs some help in that, in all of those areas. And I think, you know, your book is going to help, well, everybody. Because you said you hung out with, you know, it's crazy the people that you hung out with and helped out. Deepak Chopra, Wayne Dyer. Like, these are the big names in the profession,
so,
I guess.
So each
spiritual
chapter
world,
starts with... Yeah, each chapter starts with one of the chapters starts with when I first met Wayne Dyer and how big of an influence he was in my life. And another chapter starts with first meeting Deepak and kind of how big of an influence he was in my life and then the things I learned from those people. So Deepak actually wrote the testimony on the back of the book, which says a magical book that can help you transcend life's greatest illusions and live a wishes fulfilled experience. So that's essentially what the book is about. And it's in line with Deepak Chopra's actually a book that he wrote, Seven Spiritual Laws for Success. It has a
yes.
similar tone to that, my book does. Because I think that they both have seven chapters and they both have, you know, I think that all the spiritual teachings from all the people in the world, all the great spiritual teachings come from the same place. And it's just with whoever the person that is teaching it or expressing it, they express it with their own lens or the lens of their personality. So Deepak's is a little bit different than mine or yours or different than Wayne Dyer's. And then you can help certain type of a personality because they can then connect with you. So I think that's what's happening here.
How long did it take you to write the book?
I wrote over a period of about 7 years, so there's a lot of sevens in there. When I first started meditating, and I first started meditating soon after I started the genie, or traveling around with the genie. So when I started, as I meditated, every morning I wake up and I meditate for, you know, 20 minutes to an hour, and then immediately after I finished meditating, I'd always want to write and kind of, you know, just put everything in perspective of what I experienced in that meditation. And then when I first started doing it, I was really quite a bad writer. And I never was writing it for any particular reason. I read some of my, you know, stuff that I started writing 7 years ago, and it's just kind of all over the place. but over the years, it started to, you know, I started to find my voice. And then it was only this past May, I was in Tulum, Mexico, and all the writings that I wrote started to kind of just come together into this book. And it just kind of almost wrote itself, and I locked myself in a room down there for like 2 weeks, and while Ingrid went to the beach, and then as soon as I was finished it, I wanted to fly back to Canada to put it all together. So we actually left Mexico a couple of weeks early because it just kind of all came about really quickly. Wow. So it was one of those, it was definitely a spiritual experience, the actual coming together of the book, because it was never meant to be a book. It just kind of turned into one.
So you left Mexico? What did Ingrid think of that?
Yeah.
Most people,
hot down there, so she wasn't too bad about it.
Well, most people go to Mexico or places like that to vacation and write, and you're just like, I'm out of here. I got to go back home and get this done.
Yeah, when I get an inspiration, it's time to go. And she was ready to come back too, because we had recently just got a home, which we haven't had. We were on the road for you know, almost 7 years. So we just recently got a home in Galliano Island. So she wanted to come back to that as well. So it wasn't a big thing to convince her to come back.
Well, that's exciting. You finally, I mean, I know you guys have been, I don't want to say couch surfing because that sounds very, very college and stuff, but I know you've been just traveling around the country helping people and you haven't really had a place to live in a while. So that's exciting that you have a new place.
Yeah, we didn't. We, you know, some, in some of my writings, I talked about how we were homeless, and it was, you know, it's not homeless in the way that, you know, most people think of homeless. It was more of like a gypsy lifestyle where it was, we chose our homelessness, and we just wanted to, you know, follow our path of wish granting, and we never meant for it to last for 7 years. It just kind of happened that way. So,
and there's another seven.
We were basically, what's that? Sorry.
There's another seven right there.
I know. I'm just realizing that as I talk to you.
That is amazing. That is amazing. Wow.
Yeah. It's been quite the journey for sure. And that's the cool part about following your spirit or mm-hmm. your intuition is that it always leads you in these, you know, places that you would have never imagined that you would go. Like, I would have never imagined that I would be dressing up as a genie, number one. And then I would have never imagined that I would meet all the, like, Wayne Dyer and Deepak Chopra and Eckhart Tolle and Sadhguru and all these kind of big spiritual masters and be able to have a conversation with them. And then I would have never imagined that we might be doing a TV show or living on Galliano Island. Like, it's just a very magical existence that takes place when you just follow your heart.
Oh, absolutely. And like you said, you'd never imagine the places you go or the things you do. And so I have a kind of a silly question. When you met Deepak and Wayne Dyer and they knew you dressed as a genie, were they like, what's this now?
No, they actually really liked it. That was the funny part about both those guys is some of our events I actually dressed like the genie before I went on stage, but with Deepak and Wayne, I had like four or five events with Wayne and seven or eight events with Deepak. So they always would ask me when, you know, if I was going to dress like the genie, they wanted to see it. So, but they never saw it in person.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah, a bit of a bummer, but they really loved it, and they were my biggest supporters over the years. Wayne actually gave me a check for $10,000 at one point, about 2 or 3 months before he passed. I have never actually written about that. I probably should, but I went into his hotel room before one of our events, and he said, "Josh, I just want to give you something to thank you for everything that you've done and to help with your mission." And he wrote out a check for $10,000.
And you're like, what?
Yeah.
Flabbergasted.
I started to tear up for sure. And I said, you know, you're making me cry. He said, cry. If you want to cry, cry. Don't feel like you had to hold it in.
Aw, that's an amazing mm-hmm. story.
Yeah, it was one of the last times I ever saw Wayne before he passed. He was a real father figure for sure.
Oh, wow. So I was trying to find your book on Amazon, and it says it's already sold out. Or is it on other places to find?
Well, we have it on our website, imgenie.org/tinybookofmagic. But yeah, we haven't released it on Amazon yet because we're trying to keep it a little bit contained for now until mm-hmm. we get all the wrinkles out of it.
Right.
But it's getting really, it is at the point where we're going to do a much broader release. And we'll be doing that in the next, I would imagine the next month or so. So you'll be able to get on Amazon then, but for now, just go to imgenie.org and check it out.
Awesome. Yeah, will you be doing the book tour kind of thing?
Yeah, that's what we're trying to set up now, is a wish granting book tour. I wanted to do it before Christmas, and I might be able to do 3 or 4 stops. I think we'll probably go to Vancouver, Calgary, Ottawa, mm-hmm. And one other stop before Christmas, and then after that, in the new year, we'll probably do a much larger scale tour, because basically I want to grant a wish in each city that I go to as we're doing the book tour.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, so it just takes a little bit more logistics, and I just finished being on the road for the last 7 out of 8 weeks, so now we had to reset everything.
And yeah, it's like, wow, this, you always need a vacation after your vacation and getting your stuff done.
Yeah, the life for me is kind of like, I'm in front of a computer a lot for 2 months, setting everything up. And then I'm, you know, just on some type of a whirlwind tour for 2 months. And then I'm on a computer for 2 months. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of how my life looks most of the time.
So will you be setting up your own tour, or do you have people to help you, or do you need, or are you looking for people to help you?
I usually set up a lot of it. We just recently hired someone that is awesome. Her name's Paige. So she'll probably be the one that takes this this radio recording and spreads it around the internet. So Paige, you're awesome. And then myself and Ingrid, and then we have a lot of people to help us with everything that we do. But essentially, it's myself and Paige and Ingrid that do everything from an employee standpoint. And then the rest of the people are volunteers or help. So we're definitely still pretty grassroots.
That's amazing. As far as you've come with just being basically the three of you, and probably just some friends of yours that are helping.
Yeah, it's the power of begging. No, it's the power of community for sure. And we've gotten really good at asking people for help for other people. So I don't mind asking for stuff as long as it's for someone else. When you're asking for something directly for yourself, it always feels a bit weird.
Yeah, it is very awkward, and it's always easier to ask for something, to pay it forward to somebody else, than just be like, oh yeah, can you just help me out with my bills? It's like, no, can you help out somebody else? I think it's, that's what I tell people when they're having problems with, maybe I have a couple friends now who have cancer and they're having problems with their bills and stuff. It's like, well, have somebody set up a fundraiser for you. You don't have to do it yourself, because like you said, that's kind of weird and your pride gets in the way. But if you have somebody else do it, then, even if you say, hey, can you just set up a GoFundMe page and say it's from you, so it doesn't look like I'm asking for money, because that's always weird for people.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's hard to ask for help. But, if you know somebody who needs help, like Joshua always helps people, then just, do something to help them out, even if it's just a phone call and say, can I, do you need help with groceries, or can I, post something on Facebook to help you out, or something like that.
Yeah, that's what I try to do. This is actually in the book. It talks about the illusion of force, and in our society we talk about how you go out and take things, and you find your way and you get it, and it's very capitalistic type of mentality. But in reality, the only true way that you can get anything is by giving, and it's through the giving of yourself that you get you get things back tenfold. You get all the love back tenfold. So I just concentrate on trying to give of myself, and then let the boomerang effect of the getting just take care of itself, and it seems to work. So every morning when I wake up, I usually do my meditation, and then I go straight into just doing one thing for someone else. So, it could be as simple as, reaching out to them and saying how much I appreciate them, or it might be something a lot bigger. I just kind of let spirit guide me with that.
And that's what your book is all about. Look at that.
Yeah, the whole book is about setting up your life so you can allow spirit to guide you, because that is kind of the infinite intelligence that allows that your mind can't comprehend. So if you can just connect to spirit, then spirit's going to kind of put you on the right path, and it's going to create that magical life. So the entire book is about, it's basically a genie's guide to a wishes fulfilled life, and I just give people tactics on how to connect to that power, really.
And I think for some people it's hard to comprehend that kind of thing can happen. But, with listening to Wayne Dyer and Deepak Chopra and yourself, that those things happen. Some people don't believe, but that it happens in our world, that there are spirits that guide us. And like you said, if you told me when I was living out in California, back when I was working in TV production, that I would be in Michigan hosting a cancer podcast, helping other people, I'd be like, oh yeah, you are crazy. But this is more, obviously more fulfilling than working 16, 20 hours on a TV show that could get canceled at any moment.
Yeah, exactly. And when you follow your heart, that's That's what it's all about. It's, it doesn't. You're not concerned with how much money you're going to make.
No.
As long as you have your, you know, the Maslow's hierarchy of needs taken care of, because us humans can get pretty animalistic if we don't get, have our food and our shelter. So
yes,
if you have the food and shelter taken care of, then the rest of it, you know, you can delve deeper into elevating your awareness and your consciousness, so then you can, you know, live this really kind of high flying life.
And like you were saying, you were living as a gypsy for like 7 years, and you still felt that you had shelter and a home because you were with Ingrid, and you had friends who were helping you out.
Yeah, you're always home. We something would always come up and help us out. You know, at the moment when, you know, when we had the last penny, which happened, you know, a whole bunch of times, you know, down to our last $100 mm-hmm. and on a bus going from Raleigh to Charlotte, not knowing, you know, how we were going to do the next wish grant, and then being on Fox Morning News that day and doing a wish grant. And then, you know, in the back of your mind, you're thinking, okay, well, how am I going to, you know, pay to go anywhere? And then so, something would always come up and take care of it. So I've really developed over 7 years, I've learned to develop this faith in that process. And if you can do that, then the worry starts to mitigate and go away. And then once that happens, you start to, you know, the faith just grows so much that you don't have you don't have it to worry about anything.
That's a true story. That's for sure. Because I think when you worry about things, you just have too much negative energy, and it doesn't bring the positive to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really important. That's it. All of us have put these walls up that we call our personality. Mm-hmm. And when we break down the walls of our personality and we allow the connection to the universe and the connection to everyone else. And you can't stop someone else from putting their wall up, but if you don't have any walls up, it breaks down their walls a little bit more naturally. And you know, they can trust you and have faith in you.
That's awesome. We can leave on that note now. How do people get a hold of your book? Because I know that everybody wants one.
They go to imgenie.org/tinybookofmagic. Purchase a copy there. We have different packages, so you can just buy the book by itself, or we have different packages that will, you know, they have like a dream life plan and different one-on-one calls with myself and different spiritual teachers and stuff. So we just the whole purpose of the book is to help people live a wishes fulfilled life, and a big part of that is figuring out what it is that you love, and then being able to express that in a way that you can support yourself. So the book has a little bit of the business side of things in there too.
That's awesome. And we'll be seeing you pretty much everywhere in Canada and the USA and probably around the world soon promoting your book.
Yeah, I think going around the world sounds like the next logical step.
Hopefully you won't just be like, you know what, I'm in Paris, Ingrid, I want to go home now. She'll be like, what? Not this time.
I won't get away with that one.
I don't think you will get away with that one.
Not this time, buddy. You're not... No, I only get to do that one.
Exactly. And you already cut off of that. Well, see, I told you we were talking about if you could talk for a half hour, and I said, I know you can. I know we can talk about some amazing things together. So, and here it has been a half hour.
I'm full of hot air.
You're full of spirituality and guidance.
Yes, exactly. So, thanks a lot for having me, and I'm looking forward to playing hockey with you someday now.
Oh, that would be awesome. That would be so awesome. Well, hang on. Me and Luke Robitaille.
Yeah, why not?
Why not? He can close off the Staples Center for like an hour or two, right?
Yeah, exactly. He's the president.
He's the president. He can do what he wants. Hang on, Joshua. I'm going to wrap up like I usually do. This is Mal Majoris. I am the Cancer Warrior. Check out my all-new Facebook verified Facebook page, The Cancer Warrior, on EmpowerRadio.com. Also, check out my blog, thecancerwarrior.blogspot.com. And as always, life looks pretty good from where I'm sitting. Sending you good vibes. It's The Cancer Warrior on EmpowerRadio.com.